Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It sucks. WVEI-FM and WVEI-HD1. Westerly Providence. Southern New England's sports original.
Sports original.
103.7 WEEI. Always live on the free Odyssey app. We now return to Meter and the Coach. Call the show at 401-737-1287. Southern New England's sports original. 103.7 WEEI.
You know, back when we started this Sunday morning mess almost 3 years ago, we let off with, we shot high, and we ended up with a 25-foot three-pointer with our first guest, one Mark Packer of the ACC Network. He was the first guest with Meter and the Coach. Every time he's on, I remind you of that, Tim Welsh. I know Pack has it on his resume. Not that he needs it because he's secure at the ACC Network. But Mark Packer, good morning to you. How do you feel?
Good morning, gentlemen. And let me tell you something. I have used that tidbit to greatness at the ACC Network. Without an appearance on this show, the ACC Network gig never happens. It never happens.
Yeah,
absolutely. I love it. I love it.
I can understand that, Pack. It's a meteoric rise for you. But I think I've enjoyed your social media follow throughout the tournament because you're reveling, like those of us who do work in the ACC, about the success of teams in the tournament. That starts with NC State with another amazing win last night. Wolfpack Karma, are you buying the magic, Pack?
Well, I was in D.C. last week, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. And the reason for it is, guys, they were so bad down the stretch. I mean, they'd lost four in a row, and you're thinking, okay, you know, it's Kevin Keats. He's fighting for his job and all this stuff. They roll into D.C. They're going to play Louisville, who is dead as a doorknob, and so you're going to win that one. But, you know, Syracuse will take care of them. Keats got stuff to play for. And you keep watching them play, and, you know, they're playing as a cohesive unit, and – you know, the big guy, DJ Burns, is a problem because he's just so big and he's got great feet and a great passer. And, you know, they've always had decent guards. So all of a sudden it clicked. And, you know, they're starting to believe that they're supposed to be great. And so, again, it's the beautiful thing about March Madness, isn't it? I mean, we see it almost every year. There's somebody that comes out of nowhere. And there's still even more storylines up and above NC State outside the footprint. But just watching what they did in Washington, D.C. was truly amazing. And, you know, when you start talking about a Power 5, really Power 6 basketball, because the Big East is a great league. And, you know, when UConn made that run back in, 2011 with Kemba Walker, winning 5 in 5 nights, and then what they went on to do. And then here comes NC State pulling the same trick in 24. I mean, it's really just cool to watch, regardless of who you like to root for.
It is. It's hard not to get behind them. I mean, clearly everyone talks about 41 years ago and Jim Valvano, but, you know, give this team its due as well. North Carolina, a team that has championship caliber talent, Pack. Are you buying them too?
Yeah, and listen, I think if you would have asked me this question a week ago, I would have told you the only team I could see getting to a Final Four out of the ACC was North Carolina. And, you know, Baycott's been playing, it seems like forever, and R.J. Davis is the player of the year in the league, so they can go inside, outside. And when they get some help from Ingram and Cormac Ryan and those guys, and they get that combination, they are a really lethal team to deal with. So, North Carolina is a really, really good team. And again, if we get a bunch of chalk in the West, and eventually if it turns out to be a North Carolina-Arizona 1-2 matchup in the West regional final, that will be a great basketball game. The whole storyline with Caleb Love and all that stuff would be fantastic. But again, you know, we got to get there first. But I think North Carolina is legit. They deserve to be a one seed. And so far they're playing like it. But, you know, again, they played the first two games in the state of North Carolina, and the Heels are only 36-2 in NCAA tournament games played in the state of North Carolina. So, you know, jumping into the West Coast where, you know, Arizona is going to be out there, and who knows, maybe Grand Canyon could be a team they could see there as well.
Yeah.
We'll see how that plays out. But North Carolina is a really, really good basketball team.
Pat, two interesting games today that I'm watching, and I want to get your take on it. Clemson was very impressive against New Mexico. They've got Baylor, which is going to be a really hard game for them. And then the other interesting game, I think it's going to be a heck of a game, is James Madison and Duke. What do you think of Duke, and what do you think of Clemson as far as their games today?
Yeah, Coach, I'm with you. I think both those games will be really good. And when Clemson's good, you know, when Chase Hunter makes shots like he did the other night, they are a really talented team. I mean, P.J. Hall's legit. Shefflin's been fantastic. So they got power and size inside. They can play from the outside when Gerard's making threes and Chase Hunter's making shots. But, again, that's the old adage for anybody. If anybody makes shots, you got a chance to be pretty good. But when they don't do that, when Chase Hunter gives you the offer like he did against Boston College, when BC just kind of pushed them around and Clemson just didn't respond, then the Tigers kind of stink it up at times. So they're a weird team. When they're good, they are really good, and I thought they were outstanding against New Mexico. But they're going to take on a really talented Baylor team, really athletic and can shoot and can move. So I think that's a tremendous matchup. But, you know, they played the underdog role before. But if Chase Hunter plays well and Gerard makes shots, they certainly have a fighter's chance. And I think Duke better hold on for dear life because, you know, we saw them get pushed around last year by Tennessee, who was just too physical for them. And I know Duke's talked about it, but I watched JMU a couple times this year. And, of course, I watched them in the tournament and kind of dismantle Wisconsin from the get-go. They are big, strong, and they come after you. So I think both ACC teams better hold on real tight today. If you win both of them, you laugh all the way to the bank. But I think both of them will be fistfights.
Yeah, that's great analysis, Pack. And I want to get your take also. You're deep in the heart of the ACC and Brad Brownell and Jeff Capel and I think Steve Forbes. They're very vocal about the ACC being disrespected a little bit before the selections were even announced. And then, you know, the ACC the last couple of years has been disrespected. And, you know, Brad talked about the metrics and how the Big 12 kind of angled their schedules to work the metrics in their favor. After seeing the brackets, watching the tournament now, what's your take on the committee, what they've done, and how they evaluate to put teams in the tournament?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we could talk about this forever regarding a committee. We just saw it in the college football playoff where Florida State absolutely got hosed. I think, again, you guys are up there in Big East country, too, where I would tell you mean to tell me I've watched basketball a year in the Big East, only gets three teams in? I mean, what universe are we watching? I don't care what metric.
Absolutely.
You use. That's utterly ridiculous. Again, I don't care what a metric says. Just watch the games and tell me who you think is a legitimate team. We watched Wake Forest and Pitt play all season long. Other than North Carolina, I'm not sure anybody in the league was playing better than Pittsburgh the last 8 weeks of the season. Now, were they ugly early? Yeah, we got a bunch of freshman guards, Coach. You know how that goes when you try to figure it out. And they had some ugly losses. And I can give me all the metrics about the non-conference strength of schedule and all that. But if you watched the games, trust me, folks at St. John's and Seton Hall and Pittsburgh and Wake are watching this tournament. going, you have got to be kidding me. So, again, being on the committee is hard. It's difficult. I wonder sometimes if certain leagues get certain information regarding metrics and utilize it better than others. But, you know, at the end of the day, we roll the ball out and we keep score. And as we sit here this morning on a Sunday morning, if my math is right, the two leagues who I thought really got hosed in the selection process, the ACC and the Big East, I believe are combined 10-1 in this tournament. And I don't think that is a coincidence. I don't.
No, your math is correct. That is correct, Pack. I expect nothing less from a Clemson grad. And speaking of your alma mater, what the heck's going on? I guess we shouldn't be shocked with Florida State trying to get out of the ACC. Now Clemson, was always rumored Clemson would be next, and now there's lawsuits everywhere. What's going on in Death Valley, and what will be the resolution?
John, it's no different when I first met you, 30 years ago, and you were working at WFNZ Radio in Charlotte with me. And what did you do? Yep. You wanted out. You couldn't stand it any longer. You wanted fame and fortune and big money. And look what you did. You broke out. You said, screw FNZ. I'm taking the money. I'm going to Boston. See you guys later. And we haven't seen you since. I mean, this is the American way, isn't it? I mean, we're all striving to be bigger, better, stronger, faster, richer, and all that stuff. This has been a money grab from day one. I mean, we're getting ready to prepare ourselves next year for the ultimate Big Ten matchup of Oregon and Rutgers. We can't wait next year to get ready to watch Stanford and Miami in an ACC game. What are we talking about? We have lost sight of what all of this is supposed to be about, and it's become nothing more than a money grab. And so when I saw, you know, the Florida State lawsuit, I mean, it was just a matter of time. I mean, listen, we were down in Amelia Island for the spring meetings for the ACC last May, and there were seven schools talking about the grant of rights. How do we get out of it? Can we take a look at it? And there was all kinds of stuff going back and forth. So to see Clemson throw their name into the legal ring last week didn't surprise me. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a shocker, 1 being, hey, are you going to eat that muffin? It was maybe a 1. And I suspect, quite frankly, that there will probably be some other schools, if they do some more due diligence, that will jump into the mix as well. So it's just where we are. I hate it because for all of us that are old schoolers that love college sports the way it's supposed to be, quite frankly, watching where we are now, and this is true, whether it be the ACC, the SEC, or any other of your favorite leagues, it almost disgusts me to see where we are in college sports. And, you know, again, name, image, and likeness has changed. Transfer portals changed it. The money grabs changed it. And it just kind of saddens me, quite frankly, to see where we are in college athletics.
Yeah, it's beyond the pale. And you're right. Everything you said, I can't dispute, except maybe the money grab that I took in Boston. But everything else you said, right on the money. Right on the money, Pac-Man. All right, so let's say it. 5 years down the road, there's a resolution, maybe even more than that. Where does the ACC go if Clemson's gone, Florida State's gone, maybe North Carolina's next, rumblings about that, who knows? Where's the conference going?
John, I don't even know if we're going to have conferences. This is funny because the old series, and I'm going to tell you a crazy story. The old Sirius XM radio show I did 6-7 years ago. In fact, I went and pulled the notes out the other day because I keep show notes on every show I've ever done, even back from 30 years ago at FNZ. I did a thing on Sirius XM 6-7 years ago, what I thought was going to happen in college football. And my whole resolution was that we're going to have 50 or 60 teams playing big boy football, and everybody else would have to go figure out something else. And we would expand the regular season to start it a couple weeks early, add a couple extra bye dates just so the bodies would be right. We'd expand the playoffs. And people thought I had fallen down a flight of stairs. And they called up, Pack, are you okay? Have you lost your mind? I said, no, I think this is where it's going. And so here we are. We fast forward the clock. And I'm watching this whole thing unfold. And I'm like, well, if you people were listening to SiriusXM Radio 7 years ago, you'd have said that dude must have had a crystal ball. And I don't know if we're going to have a league 5 years from now. And what I mean by that is leagues like, hey, I grew up as an SEC fan or a Pac-12 fan or a Big Ten fan or whatever it is. I mean, I'm not so sure we're not going to figure out a way to have basically 48 to 60 teams, and we'll divvy it up again, and we'll re-regionalize college football. And, you know, you'll be in a clump of eight teams, and that will be your bracket. And it, you know, the ACCs who grew up with it, the SEC, I don't know if that'll even exist. Because we can't live in a world that Rutgers can't wait to go prepare for Washington and Clemson's got a road trip to Cal. I mean, what are we talking about? And we're not even talking about just football and basketball. How about every sport? What are we doing? I mean, none of this makes fiscal sense other than ESPN and Fox are going to go ahead and write multi-billion dollar checks and we're going to divvy it up. I mean, we have just lost complete sight of the deal. And I'm going to say that as an employee of ESPN. Again, I cover this nonsense. So it's like I said, it saddens me. But I just think that we're going down a path that, quite frankly, it's going to be the NFL and the NBA light. And again, if I wanted that, I'd watch the NFL religiously or the NBA religiously where guys are making seven figures. But again, I'm all for the student athlete getting paid, but we have just completely whiffed in putting together any kind of rules and regulations and any semblance of common sense. We've just lost it.
Yeah, I want to get your take on this, Pac. I did a game at West Virginia earlier in the year. And Brian Messerly, the SID there, said to me, he goes, how about our tennis team, coach? He said, they're playing BYU tomorrow. They're busing to Pittsburgh, then Pittsburgh to Chicago, and then Chicago to Salt Lake, then an hour bus ride up to Provo, and then the same thing coming back. I mean, you're going to miss 3 days of school. I mean, I don't know if anybody goes to class anymore. That's kind of gone by the boards, too, at some of these places. But, you know, you make the great point, the other schools, and, you know, I've been waving their flag for a long time, but no one seems to care because, you know, the higher ups at universities, they just want more. And they forget about these kids on the other teams, the soccer teams, the tennis teams, whatever, lacrosse, you know, women's basketball at some points. You know, I know even UCF, you'll be amazed to hear this, UCF, their basketball team doesn't charter everywhere still. To this day. So it's amazing to me how they're going to move this, how they're going to pull this off moving forward, as you said, with Washington and, you know, Arizona and Arizona State and the Big 12. You know, where do you see the solution? Do you think it's just going to be one big conference and then the other smaller sports will play in smaller leagues? I don't know how they figure this out.
Well, you know, the one word that I never hear mentioned with all this stuff that's going on, there's one word that is in all caps in the neon letters that I never hear mentioned when we start talking about all this trans, you know, all this movement, and that is the word education. It's as if it doesn't even count. Like, what are we doing? I mean, again, I am all for the entertainment value. I think it's great. But, man alive, we have just whiffed. And I hate to say that. Like I said, I love college sports. I grew up with it. It's been part of the DNA of our family from day one. I make a living covering it and don't want to be the get off my front yard routine. But, I mean, goodness gracious, how did we get so screwed up? And like I said, I think it's just a money grab. Coach, I don't know what the answer is. I know the answer is not going to be from the NCAA because they've had so many opportunities to get in front of this and just ran into a hole and said, hey, you guys go figure it out. And, you know, when your solution is, hey, let's go to Congress, we lose. That cannot be plan A, B, or C. So I don't know where it's going to go. I know this much, when I turn the TV on during March Madness, I'm thoroughly entertained. When I watch college football, I still love watching the games. But there's a part of me that's like, you know what, we've still missed the boat with this a little bit. So I don't know who's going to figure it out. And it's like I said, we've had a front row seat to college sports here the last 3 or 4 years, from COVID into the whole name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal. to all that we've watched with the realignment. They will be talking about college sports 75 years from now, about the era that we are in here in the last 3 or 4 years. And they'll say that's where it all changed, and it did. I just hope they can figure it out, because, quite frankly, if we keep going down this path, I'm afraid of where it is going to end up. And that's going to be one of those things where, you know what, like I said, if I wanted to watch the National Football League, I'd watch the NFL exclusively. Listen, the NFL's got more rules and regulations than college sports. Now, how's that possible?
I know. It's ridiculous.
How's that possible? It's totally ridiculous. I mean, if I was a college coach, and of course they're making more money than God, and good for them, I'm all for everybody getting paid. But every coach I talk to off the record just kind of shrugs and like, man, what are we doing? I mean, and I don't know how they do it. I really don't. It's crazy.
Yeah, Pat, I just want to get your quick take on Kentucky. You know, a lot of discussion about them, how they're doing things. The young players, John says, we're young. Everyone's 24 years old. But obviously that's not totally correct, because he's had older teams, too, that have flamed out. Is it just a period of time that they're kind of just taking their lumps? Or has everyone really caught up to them? I think that, you know, there's a lot of school that they're not outshining anybody. No one says, I want to go to Kentucky over even a Clemson, something like that. I mean, are they going to be still do the one and done thing? Are they going to mix in the portal? What's your take on what John's teams have done over the last few years in the tournament?
Well, yeah, there are not many folks that have better lineups. I can tell you that much. I mean, coaching at some point in time, coach, as you know, coaching's got to count. You know, recruiting matters. You know, the roster you put together matters. There really is no excuse for Kentucky to be as putrid as they have been in March Madness as they have the last 3 or 4 years. And now, listen, upsets happen. It's the beauty of the sport. We get it. But they're losing the, you know, 14, 15 seeds, and to the point where, like that game the other night against Oakland, it was almost as if, hey, did anybody do any homework on this team? And it's almost like they just showed up and said, hey, we're going to roll the ball out, and yeah, eventually we'll just out-athlete this group. I don't know. Listen, I always laughed, and John knows this. So I used to say this back 100 years ago, the goal of every American worker is to be suspended with pay. And and if John Calipari, if somebody's dumb enough to give him $34 million not to be there, I'd sign up for that tomorrow. I mean, what are we talking about? So the guy is a good basketball coach. He's a great recruiter. He's won a national championship. You know, I think part of the problem, I think Kentucky fans, if they're listening to this, where he has kind of missed the boat, in my opinion, is he's put so much emphasis talking about, well, here's how much money I've created for NBA contracts with my players. Hey, that's all fine and good. But that fan that shows up at Rupp Arena, and there's 23,000 of them every night, they could care less about what somebody's averaging in an NBA game. What they want to do is go kick your rear end like they're used to, and putting a banner up on the top of Rupp Arena that says NCAA champion. And then afterwards, if it turns out that those guys that led them to a championship have made billions of dollars in the NBA, that's awesome. That's the cherry on the cake. But I think Calipari, a lot of things I've heard from him in recent years, he's got it backwards. You know, and I know he's always talking about the betterment of my players. Hey, that is part of being a coach. But when you're at Kentucky, just like it is when you're at Kansas or Duke or North Carolina, the object's to win the national championship, period. And so I think Kentucky, in some respects, and more importantly, Calipari, has kind of replaced winning the national championship with, I want to make sure I've got 4 first-round draft picks, and they're going to go sign max contracts the next go-around. So, like I said, you know, it's all about priority. There's no reason in the world why Kentucky can't get back to being one of the true blue bloods. And they've had, and listen, they're still really good. They just haven't been great. And Calipari, in my opinion, can get Kentucky to be great again. But I think he's got to kind of aim the target more on the bullseye and get back to winning championships as opposed to worrying about where they are in the NBA.
No question about that. Mark Packer, always a jackpot with you as a guest. We could talk to you for hours. We're up against it, but thanks so much. And we miss Billy this time of year, that's for sure. And
I appreciate that very much.
Every day.
No, gentlemen, enjoy the madness. Always a pleasure.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
Thanks, Pack.
You got it, Coach. Take care, guys.
You got it. Take care. Mark Packer, one of the best. ACC Network, ACC PM every afternoon on the ACC Network. This is Meter of the Coach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.